This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Texas abortion providers face off against state officials in court today over a state rule requiring medical providers to bury or cremate fetal remains following a miscarriage or abortion. The rule was supposed to go into effect last month, but federal judge Sam Sparks temporarily put it on hold until he could hear the lawsuit from Whole Woman's Health. The group argues the rule would present a, quote, undue burden to Texas women because it would be more difficult to get medical care, including legal abortions. Whole Woman's Health also says abortion providers would have trouble providing cremation and burial services. Supporters, however, say the rule is necessary to protect, quote, the dignity of the unborn. Currently, hospitals and clinics can dispose of fetal remains in sanitary landfills as they do with medical waste. Whole Woman's Health last year won a U.S. Supreme Court case over state laws and imposed new regulations on abortion providers. 4 days after that ruling, the state got to work moving a new rule through a state health agency. The ruling is expected on this case by the end of the week. Faith Johnson was sworn in yesterday as the first African-American woman to be Dallas County's district attorney. The former prosecutor and judge said she can't solve the county's legal problems alone.
We talk and we talk and we talk. And now the question is, what's the resolution? What can we do? And I know that I don't have all the answers. That's why I need the people of Dallas County to help me in coming up. What are the answers to all of these problems we have?
One of the ways Johnson hopes to get at those answers is to set up a citizen advisory committee. She also hopes to open several satellite offices in order to make the county's legal business more accessible to residents who live far from the DA's office.
I think that if they can go right around the corner to be able to do whatever they need to do in terms of filing a complaint, making a statement for whatever reason, I think we might be able to help some people and they won't be deterred because they have to come down here.
Johnson, a Republican appointed by Governor Abbott, fills the office held by Susan Hawk. Hawk was the only Republican elected countywide in 2014. She resigned after a lengthy battle with depression. Johnson's term runs through the end of 2018. Texas lawmakers head back to Austin next week for the new legislative session. As part of our American Graduate Initiative, Stella Chavez looks at the education issues they'll be tackling.
Pre-K was at the top of the legislative agenda 2 years ago. Governor Greg Abbott pushed a plan to give districts and charter schools $118 million in grants. Early childhood advocates like Libby McCabe want to keep pre-K on the front burner. McCabe is director of advocacy at the education nonprofit Commit Partnership in Dallas.
We want high-quality full-day pre-K, but we know that given the, you know, the current budget and the political climate, that that's a real long shot. And so while we want to keep talking about it and keep the pressure on, our number one priority is to continue the high quality pre-K grant funding that was the governor's number one legislative priority last session.
The state funds half-day pre-K for low-income students. Some districts like San Antonio and Fort Worth offer full-day pre-K. McCabe says pre-K pays off. She points to research that shows Dallas kids in pre-K are twice as likely to be kindergarten ready than others. And if you're kindergarten ready, she says, you're three times more likely to be reading on grade level by third grade.
Reading on grade level is really the holy grail because in third grade there's a major shift in school from learning to read to reading to learn. And so if you aren't a proficient reader by third grade, you're four times more likely to drop out.
When lawmakers meet in Austin, one sure buzzword will be school choice. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has been a vocal advocate, saying this to the Texas Tribune.
What right do we have to tell a poor parent where their child is sentenced to a failing school year after year after year that they must send their child to that school?
And if President-elect Donald Trump has his way, the country's next education secretary will be a vocal school choice advocate, Betsy DeVos. All that worries Bob Sanborn of the nonprofit Children at Risk. He sees school choice as code words for vouchers that would let parents use tax dollars to enroll their kids in public or private school.
The fact of the matter is that private schools in the state of Texas don't have the room to just take any poor kid that wants to go to one of these schools.
Gary Godsey with the Texas Association of Professional Educators thinks the choice movement will drain money from public schools.
It's taking public tax dollars and redirecting them to private institutions, and we are vehemently opposed to taking those public tax dollars, taking them out of the public education arena and putting them into private schools.
probably the hottest issue in Texas over the last few months, special education. An investigation by the Houston Chronicle showed the Texas Education Agency had capped the enrollment of students in special ed to 8.5%, a stark contrast to the national average of 13%. TEA officials denied this, and federal officials are investigating. Stephen Alaman is an attorney who handles education policy issues for Disability Rights Texas. He says several bills have been filed in response.
These bills are very straightforward and very simple. They direct through changes in the Texas Education Code that the Texas Education Agency no longer have a policy or a program that tries to discourage school districts to limit students' access to special education services.
That's not the only topic parents of special ed kids have a stake in. He expects the legislature to tweak rules passed last session that allowed video monitoring of some special ed classrooms. And after lawmakers come to Austin next week, there's bound to be plenty of debate on a range of other issues, from bathroom bills to sanctuary campuses. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
And finally, twin boys in Arlington were born in two different years. Medical City Arlington says mom Cassandra Martinez was due on January 20th, but the boys came earlier. Jaden Alexander Sanchez was born 11:46 on December 31st, while Jordan Xavier Sanchez arrived at 12:12 a.m. on New Year's Day. Should be partly sunny skies today with a high near 60. This evening, well, it looks to be mostly cloudy with a low around 35. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and cooler with a high around 47. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, should be a low around 33. It's currently 52 degrees in Dallas, 53 in Fort Worth, 55 in Tyler, and 43 in Wichita Falls.